up, everybody? It's Erin.
And Nicole. This is Dude That's Fucked Up.
Welcome. So what are we doing today? We're doing a show about some stuff, and we'll get to that. But right now, what are we... This is a podcast about things that are fucked up.
Like buttholes.
Yeah. Or, you know, weird cultural events, or, you know, cults, or...
Sure.
Or just poop in general.
Yeah, or poop in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay. Well, let's see. What do we have going on? Any business?
Oh, we got business.
So much business. Oh. As you can see and hear, well, probably not here, but we're doing some new things.
we're doing so many new things.
Nicole has been just... upping her game, left and right, learning new skills, doing all the things, just a production master.
I've been real bored. No, that's how you procrastinate. You know, it's like, I should be doing all these things. And then it's like, or I could figure out how to live stream on YouTube.
Or that. I like that's where you go. I'm like, I could be, you know, doing 8,000 other things, but... I'm going to sit here and I'm going to fucking read about stick on nails or play Animal Crossing for 2 hours. No, I don't have that kind of time, but you know what I mean.
Well, you're also like, you're also bettering yourself through growing a human. Like,
he's grown. I'm not doing anything
anymore.
No, but
you're like having to teach him things and like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess. You're busy.
I'm busy just like making sure he doesn't stick something in the electrical socket or fall off of something high or.
Or eat cat food or.
Or, yeah, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Or cat barf.
He's done that before. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. Oh, that was an awful memory to think about.
Hashtag never forget.
Never forget.
Oh, my God. Well, we have figured out how to live stream things, and hopefully this has already happened, but, like, you may be able to watch our episodes live. Not live, but you may be able to watch our episodes on YouTube now. So we're trying to, like, capture video while we capture our audio so that you can watch our fucking episodes because we make weird faces. We're very animated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do little, like we do, like... Erin.
See? You don't know.
You don't know.
You're not getting the full story if you're not checking it out on YouTube.
Yikes. Erin's very good at the dick in the mouth, jiggled the balls move.
So I've been
told. This is rated R. So, we've been doing that. We're doing that. That's pretty fun. But the big news as of this episode is that we're hosting a live show. And we were going to do it on Zoom, but we figured out how to do it on YouTube, which is better for everyone. It's just, like, easier for everyone watching. You literally click the link. You don't have to download Zoom and, like, sign in and, like, you know. And then it's, like, no one can hear anyone. It's a whole big thing. So we're doing it on YouTube, and we're going to resend the link to everyone.
We're doing it live.
We'll do it live. And, and where can people find tickets?
You can go to our website. It's dtfupodcast.com.
So cute.
dtfupodcast.com. And on the very first, like, you know, immediate homepage, you'll see at the very top a button to click get tickets to the live show. And that'll take you to our storefront where you can click on the little button to purchase a ticket to attend, quote unquote, attend. And then we will send you a follow-up email with all of the deets, including the link to where you can go to watch it. So
I just watched a live show on YouTube. It was great.
Great. That's good. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're figuring this all out as we go, too. Just, like, want to make the experience as fun as possible. Tickets are $10. That is 100% of the proceeds for the tickets are going to go to two charities, two organizations mm-hmm. that we've chosen, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute and mm-hmm. Dignity and Power Now. Mm-hmm. I chose the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. It's for Black trans people. And just a little bit about the Institute. Marsha P. Johnson was a self-identified drag queen, performer, and survivor. And in addition to being a prominent figure in the Stonewall Uprising, she was like advocating all over the place. Stonewall Uprising of 1969. Mm. The P in Marsha's name stood for Pay It No Mind, which is what Marsha would say in response to questions about her gender.
Amazing.
The Marsha P. Johnson Institute itself was founded in 2015 by Elle Hearns in response to the high rate of murders of Black trans women. Mm. The Institute works constantly, tirelessly to fight against the exclusion of the trans community and social justice issues, namely racial, gender, and reproductive justice, as well as gun violence. And that's directly from their mission statement on their website. I've donated personally to them, and I think they're doing some good work out there. So Amazing. If you want to learn more, go to their website. It's Marsha P. I think it's MarshaP.org.
We'll add it to the notes.
Yeah.
For this episode. Also, we're going to post more information on Instagram this week, just like wanting to let everyone know we're doing this live show, but also that we've narrowed down. I mean, you may have already seen it by the time this episode is released, but just want to let everyone know that we've narrowed down where we're focusing. So the other organization is the organization I picked, and it's called Dignity and Power Now. And a little bit about this organization, it's a Los Angeles-based organization founded and chaired by Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Kahn-Cullors. So you know it's legit. Dignity and Power Now's mission is to build a Black and Brown-led abolitionist movement rooted in community power toward the goal of achieving transformative justice and healing justice for all incarcerated people, their families, and communities. So basically, they're focused on those who are incarcerated, who have been incarcerated, and really trying to like empower them, find justice for them, and then like find healing for them as well. And I kind of found them through one of their arms. They have a ton of programs that like that Dignity and Power Now is sort of an umbrella for. And one of the organizations is Justice LA Now, which I found through Instagram, just like as the Black Lives Matter movement has been growing. They were like an organization I followed pretty early on, and they've been working to defund the LAPD and LASD, which is the Sheriff's Department, and working to find alternatives to incarceration since 2017. So they've been doing it for a few years now, and they're amazing. Like, I get text messages from them with very clear action items. It's always like I get the same person kind of talking to me, or the same like two or three people. And they're always like, thank you so much for your help. Here's, you know, like we're so happy that you've like joined this and we get to work with you. Here's today's action item. Like, can you please help us by emailing Mayor Garcetti or submitting this comment through this weird website? But like, you know, there's so much red tape, and so they're really figuring out how to
like navigate everything,
that stuff and make it like palatable for regular people, because it's like I wouldn't know that I have to go to this specific website through this like way down in the weeds, you know, comment forum thing that's very specific. And then they even tell you like, okay, this is what you're entering and like why, and they create all these Google Docs that you can access. Like, it's incredible. So I'm very excited to be donating money, you know, to this organization. I haven't personally donated yet, but maybe I'll I'll sweeten the pot a little bit. I have donated to Marsha P. Johnson Institute by way of another live stream I watched, which was really cool. But yeah, I haven't donated yet, but I'm very happy to do so.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a cool organization.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's just so much. It was really hard to narrow down exactly, you know, who and where to yeah. send funds to. So, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, like, we're just focusing on places that are need the most attention mm-hmm. or you know, have the most effect with a single dollar. You know what I mean? Like, you a little bit could go a long way with certain organizations. So,
well, and I think we were both like, we were like, let's like agree on one together. But then I think we just like in our own activism are gravitating towards different areas, which is great because we're like complementing each other. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I really want to support, you know, Black trans women. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, I'm on board with that. But I also really want to support, you know, incarceration reform and, mm-hmm. and justice reform and all that stuff. How do we kind of like bridge the gap? Yep. And then we're like, you know what? Let's just pick two. They could both use the help. Yeah. These people are doing everything. So,
yeah.
And so that's why we have two. And I think it's amazing.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody so far who's bought tickets. And mm-hmm. I hope everybody who's listening that can would like to join.
Oh my God. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be really fun.
We've already talked about some potential topics. One is like maybe tangential to the Pimp My Ride stuff. So, you know, that's going to be a hot mess. But it's going to be, I mean, it's going to happen and then it will never happen again. So you mm-hmm. want to make sure you're there to hear whatever fucking weird bullshit we talk about.
We'll do another live show, but like the specific show
topic,
yeah.
Oh yeah. It will be and then it won't be.
And you'll get to be a part of it as it's all vomiting from our mouths. Yeah,
love it.
So that's fun.
Can I also have one tiny little piece of business that's somewhat related to mm-hmm. the Pimp My Ride episode.
Last episode was so much fun.
Oh my God. Episode 177, I think it was. Yo, dog, I heard you like pneumatic tube.
The fucking pneumatic tubes, dude. Pube in a tube.
Someone reached out to us today on Instagram and was like, you guys missed the best joke, which... It's like we're just in the moment, you know. We're not like writing things, so we miss a lot, I would imagine. But this was so good.
The jokes we do write are they're all right. The ones that fly out on the fly
the good ones
are the
oh so good. And then so this person, so Jen, aka Bad Bunnies.
On Instagram.
With a bunch of N's and E's on Instagram, wrote to us and they said, hey, like you missed this joke when you were talking about the shit oven or whatever. I don't even honestly remember that.
We were talking about van life and
and that girl I told you in her video, she had the fucking toilet under her oven.
And her smart oven. Yeah, and we were talking about incinerating the turd. Yeah.
I do remember talking about incinerating turds. Anyway, so she's like, why didn't you guys call it an incinerator?
God damn it.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking good. We also missed another joke.
What?
Yeah. Somebody on Facebook said, Ashley on Facebook said, I was really hoping for a Van McGram joke.
What's a Van McGram? Like a mammogram.
Yeah, that is really good.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Good wordplay, both of those.
Great job, you guys. We love you.
Also, I don't know if anyone out there is like an artist or is inspired, but I feel like there could be a lot of great art, like a Van McGram. Like, I feel like there's some, or like a incinerator.
Like where somebody's titties are just like clamped.
Between two vans?
Between like a, you know, like a fucking waffle iron that's all on the back of a truck. And they're just like going down the freeway and they're like, I don't know. And their titties are the only thing holding them on to the truck. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those
something
are just
like that.
Things I think about.
Oh, man.
Well, good job. Thanks for listening to that episode, guys. That was a fun one. And thanks for the wordplay.
Yeah.
I wish I would have thought of those jokes. Damn it.
Me too. They would have really delighted us in the moment, mm-hmm. I feel like. But
I'm delighted now in this moment by them.
Yeah. Me too.
anything fucked up for you this week?
Okay, well, no, I don't really have anything fucked up, but there's something very cool happening literally right now on my block. And what? That is, there is a movie being filmed that Regina King is, I think, producing and directing, maybe.
What? What?
And And it's called One Night in Miami, I think. And it's all about four leaders of, like, the Black Revolution and Black Renaissance in the, like, late 50s, early 60s with where Muhammad Ali – this was, an actual night that happened, but I think a play was written that was based on – these events, so it's like a fantasy. But these four dudes actually got together, and it was Muhammad Ali, I think Sam Cooke, Malcolm X, and someone else.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. But anyway, they've made the liquor store and like everything on the corner of our of Broadway and Falcon right here looks so fucking cool. It's like Miami 1950s. They redid the signage with like neon glow light sign. It's so, so cool.
God, that's amazing. Yeah. How fun.
I hope I have the right so it's a play, and it's a fictional account of a real night, which was February 25th, 1964. And it pinpoints a pivotal moment in the lives of four still nascent Black American icons whose potential thoughts and actions play out in the 90-minute one-act play. So it's Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay.
Cassius Clay,
who's Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and star NFL footballer Jim Brown.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Leslie Odom Jr. is in it. He's there right now as we speak. It's just fucking cool. It's very cool. So wow. It's not fucked up, but like the street's been shut down. And
yeah, we don't know. It doesn't always have to be fucked up. The thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That we talk about.
Yeah, so that's very cool. So,
Oh my god.
Like, what's your fucked up thing?
Okay, well, mine is actually fucked up and not fun. Yeah. It is the literal opposite of your cool thing. So today I went to the DMV, and I thought I died and went to hell. Like, I thought on my way to the DMV, I got into an accident and died and then, bam, there I am perpetually in this hellscape of fucking just utter disarray. Yeah, the DMV on its best days is like garbage.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That's not true. I've been to the DMV several times and had plenty of, you know, easy breezy appointments, and has not, like, there's always been the like stigma of just how shitty the DMV is. And like, for the most part, I've always been like, it's not the worst.
Yeah.
Not the best, but, you know, I would rather go to the DMV than get a fucking, you know, pap smear. Okay. Yeah. But there's like so many other things I'd rather do than get a pap smear. But then there's a lot of other things that I would rather not do, and I'd rather get a pap smear, you know? So.
Like what?
I don't know.
Now the DMV. The DMV took a dive. It was DMV pap smear. Now it's DMV pap smear. You know what
I mean? Yeah, like the pap smear is like a fucking spa day compared to what I just did. So I was there and I had an appointment. I had an appointment in like March or April. I can't remember. And everything got closed down, obviously, because of COVID. And so it got rescheduled to June, whatever the day is today. And so I get there and I am like right on time, but like I probably should have gotten there a little bit earlier because I should have known. I roll up, there's zero parking. People are just like standing around everywhere. There's cars everywhere.
Oh God.
And then so I park on the like way down the street, like on a total like residential street.
Yeah.
Walk all the way to the DMV, get there. And I, like, check in. That was no check-in, let me tell you. They were supposed to, like, text me with the confirmation that I was in line.
Yeah.
Did never happen. Never got called. And
were you in line?
Oh, you don't get in line because there's no line there. They just tell you, okay, we'll let you know when it's your turn over the loudspeaker. And literally, like, people are just standing in the parking lot waiting around for their number to be called. And you can't, my number actually might have been called, but there was so much noise in the parking lot. And there was like literal leaf blowers. Like there was, you know, people.
A chorus of leaf blowers.
Yeah. There was just like all this shit and, you know, helicopters going overhead. Who knows? And so I like start to notice people going in front of me that had been there longer I had been there longer than. Yeah. So I walk up. I like brave the like weird like bottleneck that's happening at the front of the DMV. And I'm like, hey, I don't think this worked. And they're like, no, it didn't. So I was waiting like an hour. Oh. And who knows how like long or short. Longer it would have been. So I got in line. I was like only a couple back, but then get in there, everything's fine. And then I like go to get my picture taken for my driver's license, because this is like I just still have my DC driver's license, and I am like going in there fully expecting like to take a test. I've like been studying. Yeah. And DJ had to take a test. And so I get there, and the lady who takes the pictures, she's been working there for like decades, you can tell. Oh, and she's like, you don't have to take a test. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, great. And
she's like, yeah, not gonna argue with that.
Yeah, she's like, go back over there and tell them that you need the receipt saying you could just get your license, and they'll print the receipt out for you. I go back to the desk that I was just at, and they're like, no, you need to take the test. And I was like, are you sure? Because she just said I didn't have to. And they're like, hold on. They go talk to their supervisor, who's like in the middle of the like whole DMV. And then she writes on a post-it she's like, go take this over to this lady now.
Oh, says, my God.
John said she has to take the test. And I was like, oh, shit, John said. So I go wait over by this other lady. I walk up to her and she goes, oh, John said that, huh? She just literally yells across the entire DMV.
Oh, my God.
She's like, she has a valid license that is a United States license. She doesn't need – like, she just starts yelling at everybody.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I love this woman so much. And she was like – they're like, but no, her driver's license is from out of the country. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then the lady's like, it's District of Columbia, where the president lives. D.C., Washington, D.C. Like, she just starts yelling at everybody. I was like, oh. Because they were, like, asking me. They're like, you're an American citizen? And I was like, yes.
Oh, no.
Here's my literal Social Security card.
Oh,
like,
no.
So they thought my driver's license from D.C., was from Colombia.
Oh, no.
It's 2020.
Wait, did you have to take the test?
No, bitch. I didn't take no goddamn test.
That lady's like, you will not take this test.
She's like, you're some
more
principal.
Passive-aggressive post-it notes.
Yeah, she's like, you're good. You can go. And I was like, thank you. I love you. And I was like making jokes with her. And she just was so nice. So bless that cool lady at the DMV. And I hope she took a good picture of me. Otherwise, I'll take back everything I just said about how cool she is.
You didn't get to see it?
No.
Oh.
I just went. And it was over. I think that's what I probably look like. Who knows? Or I look like this.
either like a deer in headlights or an orange that's like rotted in on itself.
Yeah. Fuck. So we'll see. It's coming in 2 weeks, I guess. So
amazing. You did it. Well, that's over with. Thank God.
2.5 hours at the fucking DMV.
Also, like, meanwhile, it's like a Corona Corral. It's like,
dude, if I get coronavirus after this shit, I am suing the motherfucking California DMV. I'm suing all those people for not knowing that Washington D.C. is called the District of Columbia. My God,
were people wearing masks and stuff? You probably had to go in.
Yeah, it was. I have to say, everybody was 100% in masks. Even like the most like. You could tell, like, shithead.
Trumpy. Yeah.
Like, there are people still screaming at the, like, DMV workers with their masks on, so.
Oh, my God. That is one thing, like, I feel like if there's anywhere where someone's gonna, like, challenge some, like, someone in wearing a mask or not, it is not the DMV, because if they, like, they're already, like, not dealing with anyone's shit.
They're like, fuck you.
Yeah, they're like, just fucking.
I gotta say, though, like, so this man was, like, screaming at these DMV workers. It was a masterclass in de-escalation. Ooh. And just, like, like,
fund the DMV.
Honestly, if the DMV had better funding, this would not have been an issue. None of this nobody would be mad at all. So it was it was just, like, the whole thing was terrible. So,
oh my God.
But I gotta say, like, all the people that were working there, bless them, and everybody being very cool and patient that were there to get their fucking, you know, driver's licenses and real IDs and shit, were all being very, for the most part, very cool. Dude, so I should have known when I walked up and I saw people with fucking lawn chairs that I had severely underestimated the situation.
You forgot to wear your, like, backpack chair that when you set it down, it's just a little chair for camping.
These people were not playing. It was so funny. Oh my God. Well,
it's also, like, fucking, it's wild to me that, like, that the text mess, like, the text message thing isn't, like, a better technology that just worked, because, like, they'll text me like half a mile away when my table's ready at Chili's. You know what I mean? It's like, well, how is this not technology, like, not being utilized everywhere?
And, like, I had already, like, done the, like, application online. Everything I had already, but it was still a hassle. Like, everything, nothing was talking to each other. And I get, like, there's so much that needs to happen, but still, it was a shit show. So,
oh my God.
That was my entire morning. So cool.
God, what a nightmare.
But it did get me to put jeans on and makeup on. So,
and you don't have to do it for another, like, 10 years. And you didn't have to take the test, which I think you're supposed to. I had to do it, and DJ had to do it, and Pete had to do it. So somehow, you, okay, all right, well, someone's feeling themselves, because they were just like, oh, yes, like, VIP treatment at the DMV, bitch.
They, like, this woman saw that I had, like, probably, she's like, oh, this woman's been here for many hours.
Or maybe she was just like, I think I like her. You know what? I'm going to do her a solid.
Yeah, she did me a solid. And yeah, you know what? I will fucking ace that test anyway, so.
True. Also, maybe she just fucking hates John so much, and she was like, I'm going to use this situation
to undermine his authority.
Yeah. I'm going to assert my authority, and I'm going to undermine his.
Well, I mean, all she had to do was click a fucking button and say I passed anyways, so.
Oh. Who knows? Oh, is that what she did?
Probably. Or, like, say, like, I not required or whatever. If in 2 weeks my license doesn't come, I'll know that Janice or whatever was wrong, and
it didn't go well.
And John was like, bitch, no.
Yeah. Oh, John.
Fucking John.
Fuck you, John.
Oh, God.
Washington, D.C. is in the United States. All right, sir.
It's where the president lives.
And he was like, oh, my guy, Trump. You mean my Trump?
God, I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, America's in big trouble, guys. And if that's not a primo example of where we're heading, then I don't know what is. We need
We're there, baby.
We need a nice story to, like, get ourselves, like, back in the, like, you know, proud to be an American. Mm-hmm. Born in the USA. Born in the USA. We're not talking about Bruce Springsteen, but
oh, we should have.
Hi.
No, I don't know.
He's fine. He's fine. No, we're gonna tell you a little story about a American patriot who gets
hero of heroes.
Gets not a lot of recognition, but she
it's
should.
George Washington. Oh, okay. Oh, right. I forgot. Sorry.
This is just a little. You know, just a little fun, nice story, and we saw this on the internets, and we're like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah,
let's talk about her. Yeah. I personally need this story in my life right now. So you guys remember Paul Revere, right?
Nope, because I thought he was Johnny Tremaine.
Yeah, Nicole goes, Paul Revere, the guy who had a fake hand, right? And I was like, Johnny Tremaine is 100% fiction.
But no, because he works for – there's like Paul Revere's in that book.
Yeah, but it's like American Revolution fanfic.
Yeah. Fair. I know. But I did get confused.
I wrote like a 13th chapter or whatever to that book. That was like our project for eighth grade or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
I was telling Pete about that today, and he's like, what was yours? Like all worried. And I was like, I don't know. And then I went back and read the Wikipedia for that book. And I was like, oh, I think it had to do with, it was like a love story.
I wrote a love story. I have like other pages. I'm just kidding. I was just like, they fell in love and lived happily ever after and blah, blah, blah.
They got married.
Yeah. It was like so dumb.
Okay. Mine was good. I got an A+.
I got an A+ too, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul Revere. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about him, but we are talking about him, technically. So Paul Revere ran around on his horse yelling at his neighbors that the British were coming.
Mm-hmm. Yo, wake up!
Everybody! The British are coming! Wake your
They're
ass
almost
up.
Here! He was just like on a horse, like...
That's what I envision. I don't know. Yeah, there's like a whole poem about his midnight ride that we had to learn in elementary school. Like,
yeah, blah, blah, who cares?
One if by land, two if by sea, like the lanterns or whatever. Right.
Yeah, there was like a lantern code.
Yeah. But did you also know that there was a teenage girl who did the same thing? 16-year-old Sybil Ludington. Mm-hmm. And she did it better. And more metal, I would argue.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, it's already way more punk or way more rock and roll or way more metal because she was a girl and she was a fucking teenager.
Yeah. Okay?
And she was out there on her own. So.
When I was 16, I was a piece of shit. So. Would I have done this? Probably not.
And I was just angry. And I don't think I was, very cool to people. So. My hair was the color of piss. It was yellow.
You had beautiful hair your entire life.
I've had two bad hair mistakes, which is why I refused to cut my own hair in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And both times, to correct it, it was piss colored. And the second time, I cut it all off like Mandy Moore. Anyway.
So... A little bit about Sybil.
Yeah.
On April 26, 1777, at the age of 16, Sybil Ludington made an all-night horseback ride to alert militia forces in the towns of Putnam County, New York, and Danbury, Connecticut, of the approach of British forces. Cool. She rode about 40 miles, which is a lot of fucking miles, at night, like in the middle of the night, in Putnam County, New York, to warn approximately 400 militiamen under her father's command that British troops were planning to attack Danbury, Connecticut. And that's where at the time, the Continental Army had a supply depot. So that was, like, very vital to the entire cause.
So many supplies in this depot, dude.
Yeah.
Like fucking, they just had, like, cases munition. Of talkies. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I was thinking of it more like the depot, the gas station we'd go to in high school.
They had those good-ass chicken tenders with the potato wedges.
They had fucking, what was that little brand called?
I have no idea. I can't even remember.
I'll have to ask my mom. They had those like really good French vanilla lattes from the machine where you push the button and it just is electric.
Oh, love it.
They had Powerade.
Oh.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. On the way to gather her father's troops, she warned people asleep in their homes by banging on their shutters with a stick and yelling, "The British are burning Danbury!"
But she was like, "The British are burning Danbury!"
Yeah. And yeah. she's like hitting people's houses with this stick. So that's yeah. kind of, that's like cool.
I picture her kind of like in Mad Max, the newer one with Hot Tom Hardy, where it's mm-hmm. like the guy with the guitar that swings yeah. around on the thing.
But like on a horse, and she's
but
just
on
like,
a horse, yeah. and she's just yeah, she's like kind of swinging around, but she's like tied onto the horse by her like long ass hair, and she's like, and I guess they didn't have she's like violining, but in a real metal way, because like what other or like fifing,
fife, she's fifing,
she's like, I don't even know,
or she just has a drum and is doing a drum solo.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
But she's doing the drum solo on people's houses.
She's like, yeah. She's like spinning her drumstick up in the air. Like, yeah. She's like spinning, spinning, spinning. And then she gets to another shutter and she's like, the burning down berry. Or whatever. What'd she say? The British are burning. The British are burning down berry.
God. That's exactly what happened.
Okay. Also, wait. I'm just... Okay. I'm also curious. Is Danbury just named after someone named Dan? Like...
The Bury of Dan, yes.
Yes. Because it seems like such a... I just don't know what it means. And I'm like, oh, Dan founded this. There's a couple more towns in here.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, that's
probably...
Like, yeah, he's like, we're going to name this area Bury after Dan, who's founded it.
Who's to say, honestly? Yeah. They were doing all who's kinds of weird say? Shit back then. Mm-hmm. At any rate, though, a little bit more about Sybil. She was born yeah. April 5th, 17th.
Sybil!
Sybil! Sybil! Sybil! I don't know.
Sybil, 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 Sybil.
Oh my God.
I can't stop now. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. She was born April 5th, 1761, mm-hmm. in Fredericksburg, New York. She was yep. the eldest of 12 kids. They had to, like, really step it up back then. We were trying to propagate a nation, so.
Woof. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I was like, yikes. But also good for them for, like, getting down that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess.
Everybody was fucking. You didn't know when you were going to, you know, see tomorrow.
Sure.
I guess you would know when you would see tomorrow since it would be tomorrow. But you know what I'm saying, right?
It would be today, though.
True. So her parents were Henry and Abigail Ludington. So her father, Henry, was a prominent figure in Fredericksburg, named after Frederick, I guess.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is the Burg of Frederick.
Sure, 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 sure.
It's
sure.
Fredericksburg.
It's Fredericksburg. He was a seasoned vet. He had taken part in the Battle of Lake George in 1755. Mm. He'd served in the French and Indian War. He also was a landowner. He owned about 229 acres of undeveloped land in what I guess is now today New York State, obviously. And as a farmer and mill owner in Paterson, New York, he was a community leader since he was a landowner, and he was like prominent in the community, was a veteran, knew what the fuck he was doing. So he volunteered to serve as the local militia commander because at that time we were on the verge of war with England and yeah. or with the British, and so shit was happening. We were an occupied colony, so things were getting tense, and he was on guard and ready to get everybody going. So on April 26, 1777, a dude knocked on his door and was like, hey, there are some troops coming into Danbury. We gotta get it going. And it was his job to get everybody mobilized and figure out what they needed to do, like where they needed to position their militia, their troops, what they needed to recover from the depot, if they could even get near it, like all these things, all the strategy, and he needed to lead everybody, basically.
Otherwise, everyone's just showing up to his house, and he's not there, and his wife's like, I don't know what's going on.
I got 12 kids. I don't know what the fuck you want me to do.
She's like, my vagina literally keeps falling out, and I have to put it back in every time I take a step, so I'm busy.
My hands are full. back in those days, everybody has tons of land because there's nobody there. It's just a few people. And so everybody's spread out all over this area. And he knew, he's like, well, I think everybody is privy to the fact that the British are close, but they don't know how close. They don't know what the fuck is actually happening, and that we need to like get everybody rallied to a point here and we need to go. So he's like, I can't go. And the person who delivered the message to him was like wiped out. He's like, I can't ride to tell all these people. I just like rode however many miles to get here and I'm fucking exhausted. It was scary and it's raining and it fucking sucks out there.
He sucks, okay?
Well, I mean, it's fair. It's like, you know, he's probably riding through enemy territory and whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Also, like, there was a stew on the stove and he was like, that smells pretty good. Do you guys mind if I stay for dinner?
I'm kind of hungry. Yeah. I just rode all this way, so maybe I'll just, like, stay.
Is that fresh bread on the hearth? Interesting.
I smelleth a delightful ale and bread.
Meanwhile, fucking what's her name?
Sybil.
Meanwhile, Sybil's up in her room fucking carving her initials into everything in her room.
Yeah, there's like... No, she doesn't have her own room. Are you kidding? She has six of her siblings like bunked up and she's like taking care of all the kids.
She's practicing tattooing on all the like youngest kids, like on their butts and stuff.
She's like another mother basically. I need a fucking break from these kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also she's metal.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, what's going on, Dad? Like, what is happening? Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it for you, kiddo. We're about to get fucked by the British.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out a way to, like, warn everybody, to, like, rally the troops. I don't know what to do here. I have no other, like, help. So maybe you can help me out. And she's like, I'll fucking go. I'll do it. I'll tell everybody.
Yeah.
Like, she's down for the cause.
Dude, she was so down because everyone, like you said, like everyone had farms and shit. So they're so spread out. And also it was weird to me that like this is even happening and no one's around. Like they had no idea. But it also happened to be planting season. Mm-hmm. So everybody was busy with their plants. So it was like.
Their
crops and their plants. And then so it's like, hey, you know what? Everybody go home. I think we're okay here.
They were not in the area.
They weren't in the area.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she offered to go. And, wow.
She went. She got on a horse with a man's saddle, first of all. It wasn't a lady's side saddle bullshit.
Okay, whatever. That's what I was going to ask you because I was going to ask, first of all, she got on this thing. 40 miles is a long time. I'm assuming she had ridden a horse at some point. Like, you have to know how to ride. Okay, but also it's like, had she ever ridden a horse 40 miles? No, that's got to hurt your muff big time.
Oh, God, yeah.
I guess it numbs after, like, probably five minutes. Well, I don't know.
I was talking to DJ about it, and he was like, the longest I've ridden a horse is, like, 10 miles. And he was like, I have never hurt as bad as I did after that. And I was
oh, my God.
That's a lot.
It's why cowboys walk bow-legged, right?
Yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm. You got to build up a callus in your taint, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't do well.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. So she, but I mean, she just like did it. She's like, I got to do what I got to do here. She got on that horse and she knew like where to go. Like her dad told her, like, hit this spot, ride up this way. Like they had a whole map of where she needed to go. And she got on that horse and she rode 40 miles around the surrounding, you know, areas of where all the farms were of all the local militia.
In the rain.
It was with pouring rain.
Wet hair. Her mascara's running. She's never looked more metal. She is so fucking cute goth on this ride. She's like heroic goth. You know what I mean?
She is giving me fucking revolutionary fucking heroin. Just horse mother just going.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, 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 yes.
So,
no.
Yeah.
No. I don't fucking know. Kill me. shut up, Erin.
I love it. No, she did. She fucking did it.
Yeah, she rode that bitch like a pro, and she woke everybody up. She rallied the troops. She rode twice as long as Paul Revere. Like, Paul Revere did not ride no 40 fucking miles. He ran, maybe 20.
Yeah, 20 tops.
And everybody, like, got their shit together, grabbed their guns, grabbed their fucking axes or whatever the fuck they had, and
their little bag with rations in it.
Yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah,
hat, and probably, and they, coat,
overcoat for overcoat, sure.
Yeah,
and they got all their shit together, and they ran over to their Henry Ludington, her dad's house.
Yeah,
and they were like, "All right, what do we need to do here?"
Okay, but I'm fucking shocked that they responded to and followed her, but I guess it was like serious shit, but it's wild to me that like they were like, okay, yeah, let's all like stop what we're doing, which was probably sleeping, and you know, and like follow this 16-year-old, which also we didn't say, but I feel like 16 at this time was like not 16 today.
She was like a member of the community, like people knew her.
Like a woman,
people knew her as Henry Ludington's daughter, like she was like out in the streets, like, you know, out here working and doing all the things that she needed to do at this time, to help her dad out, because she's the oldest. So people knew who she was, and they were like, oh shit, Sybil is out here yelling for us to go, we gotta go.
She seems scary.
She's
very metal.
She's just like broke our windows with a fucking stick. I think she's serious. So they all rallied. They did not win this little battle, though.
Awkward. Yeah. That, maybe. Rough. I mean, yeah.
It was already like
done.
It was too late. Like,
yeah.
The British had overtaken the area they were trying to protect.
They fucking trashed Dansbury.
But, you know, in the future, it helped get everybody, like, it was pretty much the beginning of, like, some serious shit, and it did help get everybody riled up, and I think, like, having that kind of, you know, her as, like, a kind of, like, a symbol or a figure, like, being like, look at this 16-year-old girl, like, fucking down for the cause, ready to like ride 40 fucking miles to wake everybody up to like go fight the British. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it about Sybil. That's as much as we really know. Mm. Like I said, we in school focused mostly on Paul Revere because he was he was very wealthy, first of all. He was a wealthy white man who, you know, he was respected in the community, and he was also like in with like the high ups, like Adams and you know, Madison and all that. So he did his thing, and he was well known already for the time. So when he did his like famous ride, of course there were poems written about him and statues, and he is synonymous with I think the Revolutionary War in a lot of ways. Yeah. But just so you know, there is a 16-year-old girl who did the exact same thing, but twice as long of a ride.
Yeah.
And in the rain.
And in the rain. I guess, yeah, that's like kind of all we know about this event. But also there's a little bit more about Sybil, which she still was fucking cool later.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like. So she, a few years later, as women of this time did, she got married in 1784 at the age of 23 to a man named Edward Ogden, and they had a son, Henry, named after her dad, I guess. But then, sadly, her husband, Ed, died 15 years after they were married of yellow fever. But then I think she really came into her own after this. She was like, all right, the man of the house is gone. I'm going to step it up again. She fucking went out. She bought a tavern.
Hell yeah.
She worked that tavern, put her son through law school, which I don't think was like how law school is today, but still. No. Yeah. She like put him.
Still was money.
Still was money. She sent him to it and he became a lawyer. And then when like a few years later, she sold the tavern business for three times what she had paid for it. And she bought a house for her son and his family. And wow. It's like, who needs a man? Not fucking Sybil. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to make like these real estate investments. I'm into real estate now.
I'm into flipping houses. Yeah.
She fucking flipped taverns and inns. It's more impressive than a house because it's.
I'm in and out, babe. Bye.
And that's the name of her fucking HGTV show. In and out
with Sybil Ludington.
Oh, I love it. And she's like, and it's kind of like the fucking Joanna Gaines show, but also the show that Robert Irvine does where it's Restaurant Impossible. Mm, it's like, hey, an inn is like kind of a taverny thing, kind of a hotel thing. We're gonna make over both sides of the business. Mm-hmm. And then we're out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She did that, though.
She did that. But then, this is very sad, her son died. And, yeah, and then she was, like, very broke. And so she applied for Revolutionary War pension because her husband had fought in the war. But they denied her because they're like, you don't have sufficient proof of marriage.
Ew.
And it's like, oh, she should have been paid based on what she contributed.
Yeah. It's stupid. Yeah. So, like, yeah, they, it was always a story that everybody in that area knew, and yeah. her family had passed the story down through the years. It was, like, not officially recorded in the, you know, history books or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is the
thing. She wasn't important.
She wasn't important. She was a woman. She wasn't a wealthy landowner like Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Her dad was, and that was just enough to have her still, like, mentioned and known in the community. But for her to have carried on this legacy and to have been an important player, I mean, she was a minor figure, but obviously, like, she was doing things. So it's shitty that she was denied that pension. And she was kind of forgotten about until, like, I think the late 1800s, somebody was doing research on the Revolutionary War and found her story. And then it was, like, passed down and more, you know, color was probably drawn into the story. Like, who knows if it really was actually 40 miles. But I think, I mean, if there's, like, documentation to, like, back up, like, exactly where – she was supposed to have gone around, and there's, like, a lot of things that are pretty good proof that it actually did happen, and it wasn't just, like, bullshit or made up or whatever. It just wasn't recorded in the, like, you know,
at the time,
the way Paul Revere's ride was.
Yeah.
But people still know about her, especially in the area. Like, she's, like, pretty well known in upstate New York.
She has a statue.
A statue. Yes.
And she's had a stamp, which was made for her during the bicentennial in 1977. They were like, you know what? She died broke as fuck in destitution, but let's make this woman a stamp.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah. Let's – it's like – Okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's nice.
No, it's still cool. And we should talk about her. And it's like one of those things of like, if we're going to mention Paul Revere, let's fucking mention this lady.
Yeah.
Fucking Sybil Ludington, because why wouldn't we need to know that she did the same fucking thing, but maybe even a bigger deal, you
That's
know?
That's right. And also, by the way, DJ was talking to me about this last night without even knowing what our topic was.
Whoa.
He was like, did you know that Paul Revere looked like Jack Black?
Did he?
Dude.
What?
Yes. Okay. Google that shit right this minute. Look at his face and tell me that is not fucking.
Oh, my God.
That Jack Black didn't time travel.
Oh, my God. What? Why did he, like, know this?
I don't know. I feel like he was, like, reading an article or something. God. Dude, right?
Oh, my God.
It's Jack Black.
That is wild.
It's uncanny. And so I just, like, kept thinking about Paul Revere, like, riding around going, like, in the style of fucking Jack Black, like, wake up. The British are coming. I don't know. Yeah. Or however he sings, like.
Yeah, how did he, it's like, the British, he's like very like, no, that's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of School of Rock.
He's just, but I just like started laughing to myself about thinking of somebody looking like Jack Black running around being.
It's one photo. There's one painting in particular that looks like fucking, what if that is, like, what if, like, Jack Black had that commissioned at some point just, like, to weirdly, like, wormhole his way into, like, a weird historical context? That would be cool.
It'd be so funny. But, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but she is, I bet if you grew up in upstate New York, you probably know about Sybil Ludington, and maybe you learned about her in school, or you've been privy to her because of where you live, but...
Yeah,
I didn't know about her. I think it's nice to learn these fun things about little pockets of history. I don't know.
Maybe you know the System of a Down song, Sybil Ludington.
I hate it.
Sybil got on her dad's horse.
Sybil.
Sybil got on her dad's horse. Put on a little makeup, went out into the rain. She wanted to.
I'm gonna pee. Oh my God. Wake up! British are coming, wake up! Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm fucking crying, dude.
Wow.
And that's how we do a podcast.
Oh my god.
I hate myself.
I fucking love this episode.
I know.
I love that you said she was metal, because the whole time I was thinking, okay, we'll do like whiny teenager, and I was like, yeah, that's like not that fun. And the metal thing was just a. What a great thread to tie throughout. And Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have known?
Oh, my God. I'm dead. Thank you guys for listening to this very silly episode. Follow us on the social medias. Sochmeeds.
At DTFU Podcast on all the platforms.
Yeah. Go to our website, dtfupodcast.com. Buy a ticket for the live show.
Oh,
even if
God.
You can't make it, know that your $10 is going to a good place.
Yeah, and you can watch it later.
And you can watch it later, yeah.
We'll send you a link to it, don't you worry.
Yep. If you can't join us live, know that you can watch it any point in time if you buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm just, like, in my mind trying to do a Jack Black impression. I can't think of it. I can't figure it out. So, well, maybe next time.
And in the meantime, hey,
what?
Listen here.
Yeah, I am listening.
Be excellent to yourselves.
and each other.
Bye-bye. Nader, 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 nader.
Wake up! Sybil, put on a little makeup. You gotta go warn the other people. People.
People. People. The British are coming.
Okay, we gotta stop.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.